Folks, what I have in mind to do is to begin with a roll and then immediately go into Bill's presentation for the amount of time that he's going to tell us. And then we will establish some ground rules for how we are going to interact with both him and everyone else. Yesterday we had a town hall meeting in this room, and for the most part, the rule was that everybody got to speak for 2 minutes. We went around the table in a circular fashion, and my thought is to maybe follow that. I don't know if you want to let Bill speak after every single person speaks. That might be more appropriate considering the subject that is before us. But we would basically start with Cliff and then Adrian and Bob and so on. And we would go with 2 minutes per question and 2 minutes per answer from Bill, and do it until we adjourn at 9 o'clock, or unless you all have some reason to extend. And we should probably address that at about 8:30. Does that sound like a reasonable approach? Does anybody want to offer an alternative?
Sounds good.
Hearing no objections, what we'll do first is...
call roll.
Deb, do you want to do it tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Bill Crozier?
Here.
Elaine Duncan?
Here.
Nick Economides?
Nick requested an excused absence.
Anissa Faruqi?
Here.
Alexandra Hunter?
She did not.
Jim Krafka?
He requested an excused absence.
Adriana Lavalette?
Here.
Gerald Lynch?
Here.
Robert Mark?
Here.
Perry McCary?
Here.
Susie Moreno? Didn't she ask for an excuse on
this? Yes, you're going too fast for me. Yes, she requested. Okay.
Susan Radwell? Radwan?
She has resigned.
Jamie Rodriguez?
Jaime. And
Jaime, I'm sorry.
I have not heard from him, so he's absent.
We got an email way last week saying he was traveling today. Didn't we?
I think so. Yeah.
I have not heard from Jaime Rodriguez in over probably 2 months.
Catherine Sinclair. Deb Shafto, present. Venetia Williams.
She requested an excused absence.
Ted Weiskall, present. Rhonda Garner.
Here.
What?
Robert.
Rhonda Garner is absent.
That's nice of you.
Oh, she's just absent. No excuse.
No excuse.
Well,
Robert Gartner.
Doing
Robert Gartner.
Here.
Wally James. I don't think. I don't know if he asked you for an excuse, but he.
Who?
Wally. He had a progressive forum to
record
tonight.
You
want? Or he had to work.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna give.
For the station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excused?
Yes.
Okay.
Lars Headington?
He has resigned twice. I've got an email from him indicating that he is further committed to resigning.
Cliff Smith?
Right here.
And Mike Lewis?
Absent.
Okay.
Did
That's
you
everybody.
Call Adriana Castaneve?
No, I did not.
She is stuck in an airport. And she called and texted several people, but she didn't have internet. She was
Good.
Doing it with text.
And she requested an excused absence?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And for the record,
no,
Susie Moreno just walked in.
She couldn't do it in the
evening. Susie Moreno, no longer excused absence request. I know, I see. Thank you very much. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. but we've got two resignations. So the board is no longer at 24, it is at 22. So we need to have 12, which is what we've got. So we have quorum. All right, Bill, how much time do you want for opening remarks?
Point of information before we begin.
If you're going to ask for a point of information, this is for everyone. Don't just blurt out your point of information. Wait for the chair to recognize you. The same thing with a point of order. And please don't inundate me with three points of order all at the same time. Let them happen and let me rule on them and we'll go forward. State your point or your request for information.
If I'm not mistaken, and I might be, the time is third unexcused absence.
If he does not show up by the end of this meeting.
Okay. I have an email dated September 13th requesting an excused absence from Heine.
For tonight?
No, for September.
I remember he asked for one sometime in the last month.
Well, we're not going to address that tonight. By the way.
We are if you're going to pronounce him that he will be off the board by the end of this meeting. If, in fact, he requested an excused absence in September, that would mean that he has October, and this meeting would be two.
Okay, well. Withdraw their statement.
First of all, requests for excused absences are just that. Is there any objection to accepting the requests of Adriana Kasanev, Nick Economides, Jim Krafka, Wally James, and Venicia Williams? Any objection to accepting those requests for excused absences?
I have one.
Okay.
Adriana has missed, this will be her fourth or maybe fifth meeting.
No, that's not true.
I have a date.
We're asking, do you object to her request for an excused absence tonight?
Again, if she's no longer a member of this board, she's not entitled to an excused absence. So listen to our secretary.
This is the fifth.
This
is the fifth meeting she has not been at.
Then why didn't you notify me of that at our last meeting or the one before that?
They were on the attendance sheets. I thought you would notice that.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. Attendance sheets.
On the top of every minutes, there is a list of people who are attending or not attending.
Here's the minutes for tonight. It doesn't indicate anything to that effect.
Point of information.
What do you mean it doesn't? Absent, present, 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 absent, present, absent.
It doesn't indicate the number of times they have been absent. So I don't know whether it's three, four, five.
This will be the fifth.
Point of information in Austin.
I waited for my...
Yes. What is your request for information?
Is Ms. Shafton talking about unexcused absences or absences in total, or what are you talking about?
They were unexcused.
In a row, or?
Yes. September 13th, August 8th, September 13th, October 1st, and October 11th.
LSB meeting?
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen. Wait, this is how I want to address this. You asked a question. My answer is that I will get together with Deb between now and Wednesday. We will review all of this. If Adriana Kasanev has missed five meetings and is no longer eligible to be on this board, we will announce that on Wednesday night. But she should not even have been... part of the roll call tonight, but we use this as our document. So it's really...
What is this?
I make a
The minutes of our October 11th meeting.
I'd like to make a motion. Yeah, we
put this off till Wednesday because we came here for a specific reason, not to spend the whole time.
Is there a second to the motion to put this off? Is there any objection to putting this off until Wednesday?
Yeah, we have a, I'm told we have a really full agenda Wednesday. That's why we couldn't do this on Wednesday, where we have tonight. Do we sure you want to put off more stuff to Wednesday?
Yes, because we'll have the information from Deb Shafto between now and then. We'll get this resolved.
What information?
We already gave it to you.
Determining who has had excessive absences, and we will report to the board, and you'll be able to act accordingly. Right now, we are dealing with an unclear
order. Do you have the minutes from the other meetings?
Are we having a discussion on this now?
No.
Because Bill Crozier was allowed to speak, and Adrian spoke, and
Bill asked a question.
If they're going to be allowed to speak, I have some things I want to say as well.
I think we are dispensing with any further discussion. Bill asked a question relative to Wednesday's meeting, and I answered it, and there's only one, that was only one person who spoke about it but did not object to postponing this until Wednesday. So we're going to move. Bill, I'd need to know how much time you want for your opening remarks.
You know, I just like to keep the whole thing informal. You know, say 15 minutes, I'm going to have plenty of time for Q&A.
You can have 20 if you'd like.
Okay, 20.
And then at 20 minutes, I'll notify you.
Okay.
All right, good.
And if the body feels that you need more time, we'll give it to you.
Okay.
All right.
Jerry, will you be timekeeper for me?
Can I want me to?
Oh, sure. Okay, she's probably not it. Okay, will you let me know when there's like at 15 and we'll notify Bill?
What do you mean?
Agenda.
Okay.
The only one.
Bill, it's yours.
Okay. Thank you. So, as I mentioned to you last month, well, I've been telling you about several months, you know, this lawsuit, Empire State Realty Trust is suing Pacifica because of the unpaid tower rent at WBI in New York City. And the judge read his ruling on October 4th, basically said no to everything we had, awarded over $1.8 million plus attorney's fees and legal fees and interest, which have not been specified yet. I think that totals about $2.4 million based on invoices that we've been getting from Empire State Realty Trust. In addition, that the judge didn't let us out of the rest of the lease, which goes until June of 2020. And it's currently, we're supposed to pay about $60,000 a month, including the license fee and rent and backup license fee and electricity and some other minor miscellaneous fees. It's about $60,000 a month, yes, and it goes up to about $70,000 by 2020. It goes up every January. And this is why it's been so awful. And they haven't been able to pay anything, zero, since June. They were actually caught up, I believe it was May or June of 3 years ago, 2014, and they just couldn't keep up because it increases about approximately 9% a year. And this is the lease that was signed in 2005 and, you know, goes for 15 years. So basically we're stuck with it. Doesn't do any good to blame people or say why was it like this or whatever. We got a judgment. They got a judgment. It was actually just posted today. So it was posted last week, and there was an error. It was signed by the wrong judge, and there were some minor errors in it. So they had to replace it, got the right judge to sign. It was posted today. Theoretically, within about 2 weeks or more, they could actually, this is the order was posted. I get these mixed up. Then the judgment will be posted sometime in the next couple of weeks. It has to be written up and checked by the court's clerk, and then approved by the judge and posted. And we've been told by Sam Himmelstein, who's our attorney there in New York, as well as we talked to another collections attorney in New York just to make sure, because Himmelstein said, you know, it wasn't his area of expertise. He said it would be at least 2 weeks. It could be easily longer than that. Now, right after the judgment was read in court in New York, about a little over a month ago, you know, it was sort of, we were thinking, oh, this is like an emergency. We have to do something really quick to prepare for bankruptcy if needed, because they'll probably come in and start cleaning out bank accounts. But, you know, within a week or two, Himmelstein said, no, they're not going to do that. He's been talking to them some, and the basically he says, don't panic. He's told the National Board several times, don't panic. They're not about to start coming to clean out our bank accounts. But we do have to come up with a plan to pay them, clearly. And he says that if we are reasonable and or come up with some reasonable plan that will pay them off, not necessarily instantly, but over time perhaps, that he's confident they will work with us. And he's asked that we not talk publicly, and I can't talk publicly about the kind of negotiations going on with them, but and that will be still going on. In the meantime, we retained a broker to look at frequency swaps for WBAI or WPFW, which is the DC station. And we have a broker that he started a few weeks ago. He's been checking with, I mean, this is what, it's sort of analogous to a real estate agent. You know, this is somebody who specializes in broadcast stations. And so he's been talking to both nonprofit and for-profit stations to see who might be interested. WBI is in the nonprofit portion of the band. They're 99.5. So either a nonprofit or a for-profit station could get that frequency. It's in the for-profit, yeah. Below 92 is reserved for nonprofit. It's called nonprofit, non-commercial educational NCE stations. So the ones stations below 92 are like our Pacifica stations or the religious stations or other kind of public stations, but not for-profit. They can't run commercials. And so that's he's looking where there's. I can't remember what I can say publicly. He's getting some interest from several broadcasters, I'll just put it that way. And so we're hopeful we will get, you know, at least one, maybe more, offer within soon. I'm still not sure when it was. I would hope it would be by now, but it's not yet. Maybe within a couple of weeks, perhaps more, where they can have some dollar, actual cash offers to swap. And so the way it works is that in a frequency swap, is essentially they pay for extra coverage. So right now, WBAI is on the best location in the best media market in the country, and it's also the most expensive location. That's why we can't keep up with the tower rent. And they have over 15 million people in what's called the 60 dBU contour, which is sort of a standard way of measuring. That's like a good coverage area. And it's more than any other, you know, station that we have in Pacifica. So I know a lot of the WBI people are panicking. That, you know, they're afraid that they might have to give up too much. There was some people looked around about 3 years ago. I wasn't on the board then for possible swaps, and they found some that would have had to give up quite a bit of coverage, you know, like 50% of the coverage area or something, which I would consider not acceptable. I don't know the details, but they remember that, and so they're afraid that any swap is going to be like that. And so, naturally, people are anxious until we find out more specifically what's possible. There's been a little interest in D.C. also for WPFW. One of the problems with WPFW is that because it's in the non-commercial educational section, there's not that many stations there. The commercial stations cannot operate there. And of the non-commercial stations in D.C., most of them are approximately have the same coverage area as WPFW does. So you wouldn't have any. There's not much reason to swap. You wouldn't get much dollar difference to swap for 5 million versus 4.5 million or something like that. People, or else they're much lower power. There was an offer for a swap to an AM station there, which is, I guess, everybody agrees would be undesirable. Because it's AM, and even though the station they were suggesting, it also they would provide a lower power FM translator, sort of like what we have in Huntsville and Galveston, but those don't cover a very big area. So, you know, we basically told our broker, keep looking. He may not find anything better for WPFW, probably won't, but there are still some, at least three that are in the works for New York. Now, in terms of what we, again, we owe, the overall financial process. So we need to pay the judgment, and that only covered the lease fees, the tower lease through May. So we've got additional accrued unpaid tower rent since May, plus interest and legal fees that we're not sure exactly how much it is, and then the rest of the lease. And so all of that together with the judgment is around $4.5 million. Now, the rest of the lease we don't have to pay off immediately, but we need to figure out how we're going to pay it. And we haven't had the cash flow to pay anything on it for several months. So that's obviously a big problem. And we don't want to pay, for example, just the judgment and then be back in court in a few months when for the same thing, because we can't keep up with the tower lease again. In addition to this, I think I told you last month, none of the Pacifica stations have put any money into the employee pension funds for about 4 years. And, I mean, this is a legal requirement. It's written in the union contracts of the stations that have unions. All the other four stations have unions. We don't hear. To be fair to all employees, they all need that. And one of the confusing things is, we have two different plans. We have a 403B, which is like a 401K, if any of you have a 401K where you work, which is it's where the employee puts in a certain amount and then the company matches it. So Pacifica matches it up to 4%. So that's a voluntary plus a match. That's all funded. There's no problem with that. It's been funded all along, and it's taken out at every payroll period. But there's this other plan called sort of a profit-sharing type plan, even though we don't have profits. But according to the union contracts, they're required to be funded, and it varies some by station, either 2.5% or 2.5% of the employees' earnings are supposed to be put into that. And that's what hasn't been funded. And so our pension auditor, Reno Accountancy, Reno, is that their name? Reno Accountancy? I get the name mixed up.
Something like that.
Is our pension fund auditor, not the regular auditor. They're working out now to figure out what we owe, and also penalties. We may have some substantial penalties because of all the late amounts. We don't know exactly what this is going to be. But I think it's altogether going to be about $1 million. And one way I know that, or a clue, is if you looked at the 2015 audit, the one that was finished in August, it had over $500,000 for all the stations combined, just up through 2015. So we've got 2016 and 2017 now also. So it's probably going to be roughly the same amount. So that's a lot of money. So put all together the other thing, and it means we need to come up with about $5.5 million really pretty soon. Now, in addition to that, we have other debt, because Pacifica has been accumulating deficits for quite a few years, almost every year for maybe 10 years or more. And so we have about $8 million altogether in debt, plus about $2 million for the rest of the tower lease. So let me bring and break that down. Now, we need about $10 million total. Now, part of that is that $4.5 or $5 million I was talking about, okay? So we need to come up with about $5.5 million soon, and then we have about another $4 million, $4 to $4.5 million on top of that. Now, about half of that, $2.3 million, is what we supposedly owe to Democracy Now. A lot of us consider that that we don't really owe it, or at least not all of it, because to go back a ways, the Democracy Now! Contract, she had a five-year contract. It was renewed for another 5 years, and it ran out about 4 or 5 years ago, for exactly when. But even way before it expired, she wasn't bringing in nearly as much money. And I remember I was on the National Finance Committee back then, and I remember asking, and all the stations were having the same problem. Democracy Now! Used to bring in a quarter of KPFT's revenue that one show did, like 10 years ago. And then it started getting less and less. And the contract was requiring us to pay more and more each year, even though she was bringing in less and less. And there was a provision in the contract that said she was supposed to pitch similarly to what she had done previously. So I think we have grounds to challenge that. I think she knows this too, because the fact that the money was coming in so much lower than what it had been in the past. And that she hasn't been pressing us at all to collect on this, and she might not ever, but it's still on her books. And it's still on our books. So about $2.3 million of the debt is to Democracy Now. That might go away, or we might be able to negotiate it down to something in between zero and $2.3 million. But altogether, if you include that, we need about $10 million. Just rounding off to the nearest million. Maybe eight or nine if we can negotiate out a part of the Democracy Now! Thing. Some of that we don't have to pay right away, but it's things like we always have accumulated annual leave and other things that we owe to employees, and payroll, which varies up and down depending on the month, the time of the month that we are. And we also we're paying off debt on payment plans for quite a few things because we haven't had the money. And this is all because of, again, not having enough central services over the years. If we had been collecting, if I could only, let's see. I had a spreadsheet that I admitted. Sam Agarwal had sent it out. I think I sent it to all of you back about a month or so ago. and it was, or maybe 2 months ago, to show unpaid central services just for the last couple of years. And then I added what was in that FY15 audit when we got it done in August. And it's about $8 million that the stations owe to the national office. So if we had, if all the stations had been paying all their central services, we would have no debt, no external debt, at least. Well, we wouldn't have internal debt either, I guess. So this is kind of important. This explains why central services is important. And we still have the additional 2 years of the lease to go. But this is the kind of reason why this is so critical. And I've been leaning on the GMs for all year long to, look, we got to fund the pensions, and we got to start getting a solution for the debt. Now, the frequency swap might take care of this. It could take care of all the debt, depending on what sort of swap we have. Now, some of the WBI people feel that's unfair. They say, why should they have to pay for all this debt that's, it's for all, most of it's all of Pacifica. The problem is that WBI owes by far the most amount of central services. They owe about, $3.8 million. This was as of June, and it's gone up since then. So it's about $4 million. And WPFW owes the next amount. It's about probably about $2 million right now. It was $1.8 million in June. Now, some of this accumulated over many years. KPFD owes money also. KPFK owes money. KPFA is the only station that doesn't owe money to the National Debt Office. But WBAI, I mean, yeah, WBAI, the New York station, and WPFW, the D.C. station, owe by far the most. So if we could use a swap to let them just pay off their central services, that would take care of most of the debt for all of Pacifica. So that's kind of where we are right now. And so we're looking at options to pay this. And I'll just be honest with you. I mean, some of the New York people and D.C. people are saying, why don't you sell buildings? Specifically KPFT's building, because they know we've already been talking about moving anyway for some in the past. And the building next door to KPFA, which is where the national office, and national office is in half of it, and the other half of it is it's called Nakapon. There used to be a Thai restaurant called Nakapon there. It's been used just as storage for the last 15 years or so. And we just got an audit done, but I haven't seen it yet for that building. But we had several months ago a real estate agent look at it and gave us an estimate that was probably worth $1 to $1.5 million. Now, some of the directors from D.C. who I don't think have ever seen it say it's worth millions with an S. I don't think that's correct at all, but I don't know if any of you have seen that building if you've been there, but it's not very big. There's no parking for it. And the Nakapon part is in really bad disrepair, and we were told it would cost $100,000 to $200,000 just to bring it up to code, not counting putting in walls or anything to make it, or plumbing to make it useful as a restaurant again or something like that. Now, you know, really KPFT's...
Four more minutes, okay, to get you to 20.
So you know KPFT's building is appreciated in value. You know, we're a mile from downtown. The building condos like crazy. You know, the place right next door to KPFT that was built recently, you know, they're selling those for what the units are, like $700,000 each. I don't know how many units are in that one building. But, you know, if KPFT was to move, we'd have to get another location. And other places are also appreciating in value. Personally, I think this is a good time to be looking to move because of the fact the property is appreciated. And there are places, for example, in the East End, like around the new light rail line, that are be really convenient. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to be cheap much longer. In fact, I talked to Larry. I also talked to Ray Hill, whom I don't know if you know, but he's, besides being a founder of KPFT and, you know, been involved forever, he's also on the board of Houston Media Source, and he suggested maybe we could team up with them, get some property next to them. I don't know if that's possible or not. But he also said that he thought the East End was a good idea. So this is kind of separate from the national financial thing, but people are talking about doing it. And I think the worst thing to do would be try to rush into a sale and just take the first offer that comes along. We won't get as much, and I think we're better off finding a place we want to move to, assuming we still want to do that, because we've been talking about it for years, and find a place and do it in an orderly fashion. And that's going to take too long anyway to help with the national financial thing. But I just want to let you know, because there's talk about it, that, you know, why not sell the buildings? And from what I told you earlier, the amount of money we need, we're not going to come close to getting that by selling both of those buildings. Even if we sold KPFD building and didn't even have another place to move to. It wouldn't come up with enough money. And clearly we have to have another place. And if, as we've been talking for years, you know, what we want to do is get a better place with more parking and better facilities, and that's wheelchair accessible throughout, and it's not a fire trap and all that. And more space. Okay, I'll shut up for now. I guess we'd like to take questions.
Okay. Teresa, what is the board's pleasure regarding the audience participating in this?
I would suggest that the board go around with their questions, and if there are questions from the audience, we can take those too.
They get 2 minutes. How about they get 2 minutes just like we do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you'll wait, but you're write down your thoughts. If anybody needs any extra paper or pen, I'm well supplied. I'm also stalling for a moment so that the people that I'm looking at, starting with Cliff and Susie, can get their thoughts together. And I urge you all to write down what you want to talk about and write down answers that bring up other questions. Unless you feel that winging it is your preferred style. And if you wish, I will note the people who choose on the first time around before we go to the audience, or the non-members. I will give everyone who passes a second opportunity. And we're not going to be limited to one time through. We're going to go for at least an hour and 20 minutes, and those are pretty much the ground rules that we've already agreed to. Cliff, are you ready to go?
No,
I'm
going to pass.
Okay, then Cliff will pass. Susie?
I'll pass also for now.
Okay, Adrian?
Point of information, can we just ask, can we have 2 minutes of Q&A? Because my subsequent questions will
probably
be based on answers.
Billy, okay with 4 minutes of back and forth?
That's fine, just informal. Want to give people information?
When, sure. When you say who's we?
Okay, thinking about which parts?
Or
frequency swap?
Doing this is on the table. Who's making decisions? Who's we?
Well, the board authorized me to retain a broker. We're not paying him anything until or unless he finds a deal that we accept. So we're not obligated to take any deal. I'm talking about the frequency swaps here now. So the National Board authorized that, and we signed an agreement with a broker to do that.
Is there anybody, any professional that you've hired on to evaluate these options and the possibility of them, the time frames, or how are you going about making this decision?
Well, he is a professional. This is what he does for a living.
He's a broker. What is he?
He arranges for sales and swaps, exchanges of radio and TV stations.
That's one of the options. So who's evaluating the totality of the possible options on the table?
Well, the other options was buildings. I mean, that'll be up to the PNB. And I haven't asked them to try to make any decision because we don't have enough information yet. I can give you more information on the buildings things. I didn't go into all the details, but that people were talking about. Do you want me to go into that a little bit more?
Well,
one of the related things is, so we don't know exactly what sort of deal we can work out with Empire State Realty Trust. Over what can we work out, some sort of payment schedule or whatever? And for example, Greg Guy, he's the broker. His name, the name of the company is Patrick Communications. And a lot of times you work out deals, you know, a swap or whatever, and you can't execute it immediately because these have to be approved by the FCC, and any license exchange or sale or swap for Pacifica has to be approved by the membership. So that's going to take months. Now, some of that could overlap with the FCC approval. So it's going to take 6 to 12 months, possibly longer, before you could be finalized. But one thing he said that sometimes happens is if you sign an agreement this would be up to the National Board to decide, and I just get one vote there, you know. So, you know, if we find, hopefully we'll have more than one option to choose from, and if they pick one that involves this frequency swap, then we'd sign a deal that said, and I'm authorized with the PNB to do it, then I'd sign a deal saying this would happen, but it's contingent on getting those approvals, FCC approval and membership approval. And so the deal wouldn't close until months later.
But what about this short-term loan?
Right, and so that's what I was going to say. And so because of that, we may very well have to get a loan in the short term. It depends on what deal we can work out with Empire State Realty Trust, or if we can. And we also need money pretty soon for the pension funding, for example.
And how would you pay everything back?
That's the key. That's the very good question, because in fact that's one of the things I've been insisting on in our CFO, that I don't want to finalize a loan until we know how we're going to pay it back. Because a loan essentially is just refinancing debt. We already have this debt, but the loans we're talking about are essentially with subprime lenders, because we have awful credit, we have all this debt, we have a balance sheet that's terrible, and we don't have the cash flow to pay for it. And so one of the other board members has found some possible lenders, and the best we've got so far is 9% with about 3% initial fees, you know, loan event origination and stuff like that. No prepayment penalty, which is good. And it's just interest only, so you have a balloon payment at the end. So you have to obviously plan for how you're going to pay the loan off. And it will be collateralized by property, by the KPFK building, or most likely. And the reason for that is because it was actually appraised by my predecessor, the previous IED, last fall, about a year ago. And so...
go ahead. My time's
up. Okay. So, anyway, we did Friday. I started the application process for a loan, but it has to be approved by the lender. They'll have to come back to the PNB, and we'll have to get an attorney to look at it. And I hope we'll have some specific things before we have to sign on the dotted line. I hope we know for sure how we're going to pay it off, because I think it would be a mistake to get a loan like that and then risk the collateral. It could be a building, or be back in court because we can't make the payments on the tower lease in a few more months. So we need an overall plan to do that. I can go into more of that later if you want, to some of the possibilities.
Okay, Bob.
Is he still on the table?
It's still a possibility, yeah. Chapter 11, which would allow us to continue operating.
Adrian, that completes your time. Bob, you've got, if you want to do a back and forth just like Adrian did, it'll be 4 minutes. Okay.
You mentioned the idea for a broadcasting swap for the 99 FM range, BAIs. What, do you have any preliminary ideas on what amount of money that would...
I can't say that publicly because it could interfere with other people making offers.
Well, have you done any personal research on that?
Let me tell you, okay, and talking to our broker, and actually some research I did before, I can tell you basically what. Most of the stations in large metropolitan areas are going for about $3 million $3 per person in the coverage area in the 60 dB contour. So WBAIs, which has a little over 15 million people in that area, that means they're worth $45 to $50 million, the license as a whole. So if you swap for another station that had, say, 3 million less people, then this is roughly, it varies some by city, you'd be probably expecting about 3 times 3 million, about $9 million. As a fair amount difference.
When you say you swap for...
If we swap WBIs...
...station that has 3 million less people, are you talking about going to another city?
Another frequency?
No, in the same city.
But a different frequency?
Yes, a different frequency. Oh. Right. So, for example, you remember what happened here?
Different frequency would be the range that it covers then? That's why you would have less people?
Yeah.
We're on the dial.
Exactly. If you remember here about 6 or 7 years ago, Rice University sold their student-run station, K-True, to the University of Houston station, you know.
Well, the number on the dial doesn't determine the range of the signal, does it?
Except that for any particular frequency, you're kind of locked into a particular coverage area by the FCC, because you can't just arbitrarily increase your power.
But please explain my question. You said something about 3 million less people. In other words, you were getting to the point where you were saying that this particular frequency would have lesser value for like a sale or a swap.
The one we would trade
to. So I don't understand why one signal would be any less valuable than another.
Okay, because they don't all cover the same number, the same area. And so, yeah, like, KPFT's has a really big area. We have 100 kilowatts, even though the transmitter is way up in northwest Houston, it covers the whole Houston area. Not really great, so what people are like.
Transmitter strength, right?
And tower height and topography and everything.
I don't get that. You're throwing out additional information, but it doesn't sound like you're really answering.
Well, okay, for any particular station, it's pretty well documented how many people live in their coverage area. Tell you, go to fccdata.org and plug in a call sign. You can look at KPFT, any station you want. fccdata.org, and there's a bunch of fields. One of them's call sign, and it'll show you a contour map.
In other words, you don't really know, but you're saying that another frequency would have lesser value. I can go with that.
I'm just saying
that you can't really explain the math on it or whatever the terminology is.
Let me try to finish. I'm sorry if I wasn't clear. Okay, so... let me just round them off.
Wait, Bob.
I'm going to try to finish. Okay, so like round things off to make it simple. Say WBI has 15 million people in its coverage area. It's approximately that. Say you traded for another one with 12 million. That would be 3 million different people. So we'd trade for another station that had a smaller coverage area, a little bit less. So essentially, they would be paying us for the extra 3 million people they would get if they took WBI's signal. So therefore, they would be paying for that. And so the amount of money you get would be approximately proportional to the difference in the coverage, in the difference in the number of people in the coverage area. And so, you know, people tend to focus on what are we giving up. And 3 million people sounds like a lot. Or it might be 2 million, or it might be 5 million. Depends on the station. But, you know, I like to think about what are you retaining. I think giving up 50% of the people would be way too much of a loss. But somewhere in between might be acceptable if we got enough money. The alternative is selling buildings. We've got to come up with money somewhere. And that's why I'm saying there's got to be some pain somewhere.
Now, okay. On the real estate...
is that the 4 minutes?
It's 4 minutes and 40 seconds.
Okay.
You get turn. That's get another
turn. This okay. Turn. This turn.
We'll come back.
Okay. Anissa?
Well, the property issue came up at last month's meeting, and the biggest question would be, which committee is going to have the authority and oversight to help us find a new property... since it sounds like we're going to be needing one.
I don't know. I'd like to get... I talked to Larry. I suggested he find some people with real estate interests, for one thing. And whoever... we probably should form a new committee. Whoever wants to be on it, as far as I'm concerned. I don't care. But we need people who know how to... are familiar with this kind of stuff. And I really strongly recommend we include some staff, because they know what we need technically and what space we need and... stuff like that. But that's, I mean, this is a really early stage of this sort of thing.
And I guess the biggest next question is, after our fund drive, how short of our fund drive goals were we?
We came really close, and I've heard different figures. If we came, the goal was 250,000, and as of Friday, I heard we were at 252, and then I heard that a couple of those were counted twice, and it may be only 251 or 249, but it's within a thousand or so of 250, one way or the other. Actually, it might be a little more than that, because some of them are still trickling in. There's challenge matches and some checks that came in that weren't entered right away. So it was very successful. We haven't come anywhere close to 100% of the goal in several years. So it was really good.
Do you have any other questions for now, Anissa?
Nope.
Okay. 4 minutes.
Okay. I think one of my biggest questions has to do with the fact that we are hearing a lot of things outside of the parameters of working within the board and the speaking of it and what's happening at the PMB, but there were a series of email conversations about how we were going to do XYZ. A lot of things were thrown out, it seems like the big thing that we ought to be doing is speaking with people who understand this. I mean, we don't know how this is going to affect programming with the SWAT. We don't know, you haven't mentioned the idea of repeater stations and actually having one area control all the other four stations and making that as part of the plan for the future. I think that we need a plan that gives us all our options versus just being said to us, like in the emails. It doesn't give us anything to study or look at. These are ideas that are floating around, but it's not a plan, and it is not, it seems like there are too many things in the account close to the chest and not put in a format where we can evaluate. We can't evaluate anything that you said other than their ideas. How do we have a plan and things that are written that we can evaluate? Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. We don't have an overall plan yet. There's some debate going on within the PNB, not just in the meetings, but in between. You know, it's like, do we want to sell buildings versus do a frequency swap? Do we want to just do the minimum to take care of the immediate, like the judgment that we have to do with pay right now, or do we want to take care of all of our debt? I feel really strongly we should try to take care of all of our debt because it's killing us. It's killing all of Pacifica. It's scaring off major donors. It's probably impacting getting grants. Doesn't mean you don't get any grants, but people look at our balance sheet and they say $8 million of debt and no cash flow to ever pay it off. And they worry, you know, or if we donate, is it going to be going down a rat hole? And so I think it's important for to get major donors, if nothing else, that we try to address as much of that debt as possible. Maybe not Democracy Now. I'm not excluding that. A healthy organization, nonprofit, should have about 3 months' worth of operating expenses in reserves at all time, which means about $3 million. I'm talking about all of Pacific as a whole. Now KPFT is only about a tenth of that, but you know, if we could have a few $100,000 in reserve all the time, that would be wonderful. And as it is, most of the stations, every one of the stations, are, you know, they go up during their cash balances go up during fund drive and after fund drive, obviously, and they're down close to zero by the time of the next fund drive. And the way this is kind of unfortunate. A lot of times, the way that you decide when the next fund drive is going to be is when is your check balance going to be close to zero, and that's not a good way for planning fund drives because, for example, last year, if you recall, we had to do a fund drive in January because the cash flow was so short, and we had so little money. It's the worst month of the year to do a fund drive because people are paying their holiday expenses, and they've already made major donations for tax deductions in December. They don't want to donate money in December in January, and so. I mean, that's just one example. But so you need reserves for multiple reasons. You know, we can have earthquakes. I mean, we can have floods like we just had Harvey. We were really lucky we didn't have the station, you know, didn't have any serious damage. WBI had Hurricane Sandy about 4 years ago, did really serious damage to their building. The California stations could have earthquakes at any time. And so you need reserves also. But you're right, we don't have a plan. But the biggest issue right now, I think, is trying to get people to. This is something to be able to think about. And you feel free to lobby us, email all the PNB, you know, pnb@pacifica.org, see what you think. But I think it's important that we try to address at least most of the debt, preferably all the debt, and get it all paid off reasonably soon.
Well,
and not just the minimal amount we have to this year.
Part of the problem with lobbying is certain people, if they ask questions, get shot down just for asking the question. But the thing about a plan is, who are the how do
I? Well, I took up too much of time answering her. Let her go on, Tim.
Point of order. Point of information. Mm-hmm. How are you counting this time? Are you
on my phone?
Can I finish, please?
I answered your question.
Can I finish, please?
Yes.
Are you counting Bill's response as part of that time?
Yes. Yeah. Each gets 2 minutes worth of ruling.
Yeah, I talked a lot. So
each gets 2 minutes.
Well, I know, but I just want to make this clear.
Lower your voice.
Because I think I heard some sentiment here And I'm having that same opening right
Hold
now.
Hold on a second. PK, do you have another question or a statement to make, and can you do it in one
Well, minute? I thought there was kind of a back and forth for him. He spent a lot of time explaining some things that didn't have anything
how
to do
How much more time do you want right now, and how much do you want to
you
get
You know what? Going? Let's come back to me.
Okay.
We don't want to waste time.
Jerry?
I don't want to waste time arguing about it.
Okay. Bill Reese, as somebody else said, you know, what the questions you have are going to change depending on what Jill says, because she has very limited information. So, Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said overall the Pacifica budget for the entire network is roughly $1 million per month?
Right. It's a little less than that right now.
Okay, but you want $3 million in reserves.
Yeah.
And KPFT is roughly $100,000 per month?
It's a little less than that now.
Okay. So, the one thing I've never heard at all, obviously for KPFT, one of the things that's helping balance the budget here is laying off employees, which quite frankly, I doubt if there's 5% of the members or the listeners, which are bigger, even more diverse group, have any idea that there's not as many people working here as there was 2 years ago. I've yet to hear anything about, it would make sense. Look, obviously you said you want to get rid of all the debt right now, it's good. It needs a new start. But is there any way to cut the overall budget for Pacifica to $500,000 a month, which 500 times 12 is $6 million right there? I mean, normally that's what something does. Selling stuff off, which is might not a bad idea. I mean, I just, from my experience with Pacifica, I know squat about any other stations, but I suspect that you could lay off a lot of people there and the listeners wouldn't even notice the difference. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I've yet to hear anything about laying off. And first of all, how many employees are there at each of these stations? That's my next question.
Okay, well, KPFA has the most. It's around a little over 30. My opinion, they have more people than they need.
KPFT has 30?
No, KPFA, Berkeley.
Berkeley's got 30, okay.
I think a little more than 30.
Hold on one second. Stop the time for just a moment. I just want to know how much time is left so that people understand. Jerry took some time to ask his question. How much time of the 4 minutes is left?
2 minutes and 5 seconds.
Okay. KPFK 30. And how many others?
No, K has about 25. So part of the starting to tell you time is with the FTEs, you know, part time versus full time. But
how about WABAI?
They have about 9, I think. Eight or nine, yeah.
Or
about 8.
Okay.
And WPFW is about the same. It's about the same as KPFT was, but now we have a lot less.
How many do we have now?
We have 2 full-time employees, and one of those is a 99 employee, and we have 5 part-time ones, I believe.
So roughly 3 or 4, let's say 4 full-time,
FTEs or something
full-time.
Like that.
How about KPFA?
KPFA, that was the first one.
Oh, that's the one in
Berkeley.
I'm sorry, K has how many? I missed it.
K is in L.A. I think they have around 25. I'll tell you, just to answer your earlier question, though, I mean, I would like to cut payroll at those 2 stations. However, those are the 2 stations that bring in the most money, okay? So you don't want to impact that. Now,
do the employees help bring in the money?
Yes, exactly. And in fact, WBI used to have the third largest number of employees, and their payroll was slashed by 2/3 about 5 years ago, and it had a big impact. Now, I think some of those people they didn't really need, but I remember I was on the national board before then, and I encouraged the GM at that time, you need to cut some. You can't afford the people you've got. And if you don't cut some, you're going to have something more drastic. And then I went off the board for 3 years, and one of those years, they were forced by the PNB to lay off 2/3 of their people.
And the whole network, what percentage is employees' wages and health care and all that?
Oh, probably roughly is the payroll. About roughly half is about this payroll. And a real high percentage of that is benefits. Now, people over half-time or more get full benefits, and people less than that get no benefits. So we're real generous in benefits.
Okay.
I can go more details.
That's all my questions.
Remind me, I'll come back to that.
That's all my
details.
Okay.
I'm going to pass. Elaine?
I have just one quick question here. Let me restart this. Okay. The way the structure is set up, is it not correct that the decisions, what you'll decide to do, will be made by PMB, and the different LSB boards will be advised of what's going on, but have no real say-so once that decision is made? Is that not correct?
They don't get to make any decisions. They can certainly provide advice or suggestions or recommendations.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But the final decision is going to be the PMB.
And I only get one vote there, so yeah. Yes.
That's the question I have. Who makes the final? And it'll be PMB.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
That all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I've heard from some disgruntled people at BAI about how, and I understand what they're saying, how come the people, the two stations that own buildings are allowed to keep their buildings, and we're really being chopped here. And I wonder if they have much of an understanding that, I mean, have you heard them have any kind of understanding that if we don't have a building, we pay rent? If
right.
we don't have a place, yep. we owe money. And I heard those arguments from somebody I've always considered pretty thoughtful. And I understand it's emotional. But is there any understanding that you know of that the buildings are a real saving for us?
Well, yeah, and like in, here in Texas, we don't even pay any taxes.
Now, yeah.
In California, there's some taxes. I think it's different between L.A. and Berkeley because some county taxes. I'm not sure the difference. They're not totally tax exempt. In fact, KPFA is actually several years behind on paying taxes. That's another story. But, I mean, it's minor compared to a lot of this other stuff, but it's a few hundred thousand dollars. KPFA. And, but, you know, I just want to make sure everybody understands. You know, this tower lease, people want to blame WBI for that. I do not blame them for it. I've never seen any evidence that their LSB or their management ever approved that. It was signed by a person like me, a former IED who was from another station, and I haven't seen, of course the records are hard to find in Pacifica Governance, but this is back in 2005 now, but I've never seen any verification that it was approved by them. So in some sense it was sort of imposed on them, and the person, I'm not even blaming the person that signed it, because he may have felt he had no choice, because this was after 9/11 and all the antennas in the World Trade Center were destroyed, and that was one of the arguments we used in court. The judge didn't accept it, but there really wasn't a lot of choice if you wanted to stay in New York and have a good place. But something the New York people they forget about is that for years, the central services rate that WBI's paid has been half what the other stations, because that's been a recognition for many years that they pay higher tower rent than any other stations. So for many years they paid half the rate of the other stations. Okay, I went beyond
or
your question.
Or crude half the, they didn't actually pay it.
Well, yeah, that's true. They couldn't even keep up with that. That's true.
I think I'm done for the time being. It was more of a statement than a question.
Okay.
I'm hoping they get it.
Yeah.
I pass.
Okay. Are we going to the audience or are we going to the board? Well, first we're going to finish, let the people who passed. Cliff, do you have a question now?
No.
Susie?
Yes, I have a question and a statement. I wonder what the plan is, and we'd like to see the plan. And maybe you say we don't have a vote in that, but we would like to see, because we are on the board and we do have responsibilities. And the other thing is, do we have a plan so that this doesn't happen again with the people that have put us into this situation more than the rest of the station? What's the plan for that?
That's a very good question.
Because we can't just pay our debt and that's it. It's going to keep accumulating. What is the plan to do?